Hey, thanks for checking out the Gigantic Adventures of Jeff and Simon, a family-friendly actual play podcast. Last time, Jeff and Simon geared up to leave the town of Thorndale and continue north toward their ultimate destination, Mount Darkleaf. They found Mayor Carey had arranged for an army of birds to spread information about the growing threats to all the inhabitants of the Great Wood, and offered as many flyers as the heroes needed to escort them on their journey. They declined this offer, however, and Jeff opted to request only the aid of a grumpy old owl called Frederick. Oh, you know what? Let's just get started. Hey! Hi! People! Hello! this is the Gigantic Adventures of Jeff and Simon. I am the Game Master, and I am sitting here with a person who plays a role of Jeffrey Montclair the Mouse, and the person's name is...
Hello, I'm Oliver Scripps. I play Jeffrey Montclair the Mouse, as stated.
and I'm here with another person who plays Simon. I was going to say Simon Cowell. Why was I going to say
Simon Cowell? He's not a cow, he's a bird.
Amazing! I didn't realise that I made his name that awesome.
Simon Quayle, which is not quite Simon Cowell, but Simon Quayle, the pigeon.
It's reasonably close.
Yeah, it is reasonably close. My name, however, is Jules Bergeser, reasonably unlike pretty much anything other than Julia Guglia out of The Wedding Singer, which I do get called on a frequent basis. So.
Julia Guglia.
Natalie and Brulia.
Name an anglicization of Burgermeister?
No, my name is actually Bergeser, but it's Swiss. And it usually has an umlaut over the U. But that name is actually...
Means person of the city.
Yeah.
City person.
Yeah. We helped the mayor or whatever look after the town. We used to have a castle.
Like,
but it's now in ruins in Switzerland.
Most are. They passed their usefulness in the late 1600s, unfortunately. Yeah. What does your surname mean, Brad?
Builder. Carpenter.
Good.
We're like room. I think it's room man.
Yeah, like, room make man. Man make man, room now.
Man who make room.
Man who make room now. And
which has changed. Which has changed in meaning now to being someone who's polite and considerate of others, and I make room when other people want to come by. Just means I'm a modern man with empathy.
And even though nobody asked, I'll fill
I was just about to ask, but I noticed Brad didn't have his headphones on, wasn't going to be listening, so...
My quite uncommon surname of Scripps comes from the even more uncommon surname, which is now actually pretty much gone, of Crippslock, which means essentially a person who can read and write. So my family's been named for literacy for at least a few hundred years. Although, as a funny quirk of genealogy, my appropriate surname, if it wasn't passed over at a certain point, which it shouldn't have been, should be Priest, which is fun for an atheist. I think Oliver Priest is quite a cool name.
What about Caps Lock, which is exactly the same, but you can only write in capital letters?
I'm quite a shouty man. Oliver
Caps Lock... Can your next character's name be, like, Priest Caps Lock?
Like... Oh, have you heard about God?
Kashtar.
It's like this really aggressive cleric.
Good day. I'm deaf and I love Jesus.
I love it already.
Do you love deafness?
I'm not cutting that either. This is all staying in.
Well, it is potentially divisive.
What, your surname?
Anyway, last time we geared up to continue Jeff and Simon's grand adventure, which has, as you learned...
Is it great or grand? I'm really confused.
It's gigantic, actually.
I've actually read that with my several hundred years of my family being able to read. I'd like to...
Do you know what's really funny?
I read that.
I'm looking at a screen right now that actually has the logo, The Gigantic Adventures of Jeff and Simon, and still asked that question. Mm-hmm. That's how smart I am.
That's how smart me are.
Maybe smart. Often,
you learned that your gigantic adventure has celestial involvement. You are some kind of prophesied ones or chosen ones or something of grand importance or gigantic importance, if we want to stick to that word.
I'm just going to put on my correctile hat here and say the correct pronunciation is prophesied.
And the correct pronunciation is prophesied.
Brad, don't mock intelligence. That's not very nice.
You're welcome to mock contrarianism and snooty, high-nosed education.
You're allowed to do that, though. Yeah.
You're welcome to mock that. I'm looking to do a John Oliver impersonation. Sounding out every word with emotion. Any who's will be.
Right, so after the grammar lesson, you guys just go get off it, Oliver. You continued your prophesied journey and left the town of Thorndale after gearing up. We are going to retcon a little bit and see if you did any leveling up choices. The game of Suited is designed initially to just be played for quick one-shot games, but since we're playing an extended campaign...
We chose not to, because we like to break the rules.
Ted and Erin, who created the game of Suited, came up with a mechanic for leveling for longer campaigns like ours. Is this just for us? No, but I think we're the first people to try it.
I'm so excited.
And so basically the system is a point-buy system. You can buy upgrades to your character in the way of spending points to achieve certain levels of new abilities or items. You currently have 10 points to spend. Did you guys want to do any leveling up, or did you have anything you wanted to do, or were you going to save your points for a bigger level?
I was thinking that I might spend some points, if that's okay.
That's fine, just keep track of what you've spent.
Yeah, so because my spades is like my speed and my flexibility and all that, and I feel like that's pretty relative to Simon's flying. It's only a 4, and so I thought you can spend 7 points, right, to up your spade score?
Yes.
Yes, so I'd like to spend 7 to up it to 5, please. I will do that. I'll monitor my own points, but I'm telling you. And then I also wanted to up my picking skill 2 points, which I believe costs me 2 points.
Yes. Oh yeah. Raise a skill by 1 is 1. So yeah, you can raise it by 1 twice.
Cool. So I've spent 9 points on doing those 2 things.
Okay. So you just got 1 point remaining that you're just gonna hold on to?
I'm just gonna hold on to it, see what I might want to spend on it another time.
Okay, so Simon got better at pecking and at agility.
Yep.
Due to all the practice you guys have had fighting bears and foxes, so.
Yeah.
Did Jeff want to have any upgrades? Or are you saving for a big new spades bonus?
I think I'm going to do a general skill raise with the maximum 6 points that I can use. I'm going to increase swashbuckling
from a 3 to a 6.
Well, that would be a 9.
But no, because it's currently a +3. The max you can have is +6 total for the skill.
Oh, okay, so I'll spend 3 of my points to bring swashbuckling up to a +6.
Okay.
I would also like to bring up my chivalrous by 2, spending 5 of my points in total so far. And my moxie, I think, is fine how it is. Yeah, I haven't really used it.
Okay, so your chivalrous... So your chivalrous went from what to what?
So it's gone from 2 to 4.
Okay.
And my swashbuckling is now +6.
Wow, that's crazy swashbuckling.
That's really good swashbuckling. If only swashbuckling was an easily defined term.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the fact that it's not is quite good. It means, yeah. it could mean swinging your sword around, or it could mean doing like agile flippies. So. Mm.
Yeah, which I quite like, as well as I think chivalrous potentially has a benefit in personal interactions. So yeah. I see that kind of like a charm stat.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I don't know, Oliver, if you've heard the Ferritor episodes with Sam Malcolm. One of the skills he gave Ferritor was just called Boing. Which he used quite a lot in our short little game. You know, like he used it as sort of like dodging. He used it.
The ability to boing.
Mm. Yeah, but he also used it in terms of being able to just like sneak up on people and just appear next to them like boing. Mm. I was like what an easily abusable skill.
Yeah, I was arguing with myself about increasing my notice up to 6 so that I am an all-seeing demigod, but I think I'm going to save the my remaining 5 points to the next level.
Okay, sweet. So, so you guys learned all those new abilities, or you just improved those existing abilities, and then you took to the skies, Simon flying solo and Jeff flying on the back of Frederick, the grumpy old owl, who was ordered to join you by Kerry, the mayor of Thorndale, to help you on your quest, after she offered a whole army of birds and you said, no, just this owl who hates us.
I regret nothing.
You left Thorndale and you flew for the entire day, and then as the sun begins to set, you are approaching the much larger, bustling town / almost a city of Woods Edge, right on the edge of the woods, where the woods meets the desert of seeds. As you are approaching, you smell smoke.
Jeffrey tap-taps on... God, I've already forgotten his name.
Frederick,
writing it down. I've also spelled it Frederick. It's fun to me. and Tibby taps on Frederick's head to get his attention.
What? Yeah, what?
Down there, good lad. Please, if you would. Thank you.
I know where Wood's Edge is. I've been there before.
Well, some of us would like to get there today.
Oh, all right. Do you smell smoke?
Of course I smell smoke. I smell everything. I smell hope. I smell vanity. I smell all things to all men. Goodbye!
Do you think we should investigate? Says Simon, like, across, like, a really windy kind of flying sort of scenario. Do you think? That's what he's doing.
Jeffrey draws his cutlass and shouts to the heavens, Tally-ho! And sort of motions Frederick downwards.
Okay. I said last time that you basically control him other than roleplay. So, yeah, steer him away. So you go into land.
Frederick puts him into a hard dive and rides him down, cutlass above his head like a charging knight.
Okay, yeah, as you get lower and lower and can make out more details of the town, you do see that there is in fact smoke coming from quite a few places, and you even hear the sounds of screaming and yelling and what's clearly battle.
So we're continuing down. I don't think that we pause.
Okay.
No,
cool.
We don't pause. All right. In fact, yep. as we see this, Simon's eyes get kind of narrow and his wing blades pop out the sides of his wings as he's like flying and he's ready to like land fight. Like, so yep. He's gonna look to see if he can see who's fighting who and who he should attack from the air. You know what I mean?
Yep. Okay, cool. Make a diamond flip to notice or to perceive.
I also have a +2 notice, so that's good.
Can I add my like +2 searching onto that?
Yep.
I have a 5 and a spade.
Okay.
But my diamond
that's
score is
not
four.
Great for my first flip. That's a three of clubs.
So I'm a nine total.
Okay, nine total, and it's a spade, and Simon is a...
three of clubs, mate.
Plus diamond plus score, my... plus...
Yeah. Plus my diamonds, which is six, plus my skill, which is two. Yes, two. So, 11. 11?
Okay.
Is that math right?
A nine.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm still dwelling on the me suggesting that you use the rules and you replying with yeah, which
I had to go through a couple of screens to get the right screen to find my character sheet again. Okay.
Yeah. So either way, whether you mathed right or wrong, you both got enough to notice what's going on the ground. There appear to be dozens and dozens, if not 100. Snakes. They are pit vipers. They are about a foot long. They are like a brownish green with brown stripes on them, and they are in active combat with all the townsfolk. There you see mice, you see rats, you see sparrows and lizards all doing whatever they can to fend off these snakes. There are some snakes have been defeated. There are some townsfolk have been defeated. It looks like this battle's been going for a little while.
Jeffrey directs Frederick to the rear of the snake's position and provokes him to swoop through their back lines towards the front line of the villagers. So looking to create a bit of a break between the two warring parties.
Okay, yeah, it's sort of like organized chaos or disorganized chaos in that it's not just like a force against a force. It's all over the city, like the snakes are going into homes and things like that.
Is there a central square visible or some sort of focal point?
Yeah, I'd say there is.
I would say Jeffrey heads for the square or whatever the town hall situation is, wherever it looks like it would be obvious for... people to congregate in defense of their city.
Yeah, you can see there is a town square that's basically just a big open area that just has a statue in the middle of it. The statue is just of a... let's see, it's a donkey. It's a statue of a donkey.
Okay.
Cool. Exciting.
I want the donkey to be holding a telescope and looking up at the sky.
Okay, it's Don Copernicus.
Nice.
Don Copernicus, yeah. Oh, okay, it could have been Don Coyote.
No, he's telescope.
Don Coyote
would have been holding a sword.
Right. Or he could have had a lightsaber and been Donkey Yoda.
Oh god. Here we go.
Retcon.
So that's three puns at one time. Just FYI. I'm capable of it.
That was the legendary triple pun there, ladies and gentlemen.
You didn't add puns to your skills, so
This is just one of Oliver's human skills. is the ability to make any conversation horrible. So welcome to the jungle.
There's a town square with a statue of a donkey holding a telescope.
Nice. Okay, so Simon sees pretty much the same thing. Sees Jeff staring Frederick into the town square and kind of heads there in that general vicinity too. But he'd be aiming for one of the snakes because what he wants to do is, like... swing in, slice anything nearby and pick up one of the snakes and head up into the air. That's what he wants.
Okay. Yep. I want us to do that narratively with just give me a spade flip.
Sure.
And add any skills you think might be applicable to do that.
It's a queen of clubs. So that's 10. Plus I'm going to go with maybe like aerobatics and my items of wing blades.
Okay.
Yeah.
So total it all up.
So 13 plus my spades of 4. So 17.
Okay.
And a negative outcome.
Yeah, so you easily achieve the thing you wanted to do. You swoop in, you actually bowl through quite like a few snakes. I'd say four snakes. You just kind of slice right through them. One of them, you cut its head off with your wings.
Nice.
But you fly straight into the donkey statue and take one damage and fall to the ground.
Ah, what is it with Simon always crashing?
Not a good flyer.
And Jeff, is there something you want to narratively do?
Giffrey will, there's a reference in my mind. Ah, yes, fantastic. Lord of the Rings, Brad, your favourite film. You know, like the Nazgul suits down on some of the riders of Gondor, of Rohan rather, sort of tumbles them, directs Frederick to talons first, pounce upon a bunch of snakes using his swooping, and at the same time would like to do a little cheeky flip off the back and try and engage whatever the largest snake is that he sees.
Okay,
specifically,
so you...
if there's any leader snake or a snake wearing a hat of some kind, that's the guy.
Okay, you can't tell the difference between the snakes. They all seem like minion snakes.
Okay, the nearest snake. So Jeffrey is going to incite Frederick to attack and jump off of him so that he may himself land on the ground and begin attacking.
Okay, so Frederick will do a swooping attack. He gets a jack of hearts, and I gave him a +5 to talents. So he easily swoops in and grabs one and uses it to sort of whip a bunch of others and sort of knock them out and make a spade flip to just flip off of Frederick in a cool swashbucklery fashion.
So it is a club, but it is +10, so it's 15 and a club.
Okay, that's fine. So yeah, you do a sweet flipping maneuver, but you weren't watching where you flipped, and you land right in front of the mouth of a snake. Flip initiative against this snake.
Ha! Five of spades.
Okay.
I don't have any initiative bonus.
That's fine. It's just a straight up card. It got a 3, so you act first.
Ooh.
It's head is the size of you, and it's right in your face.
In a flurry of slashing attacks aimed at the throat of the snake, its soft underbelly, Jeffrey attacks with his cutlass.
Okay.
With, I would assume he has his golden shield with him as well.
Yep.
Which I've been thinking about it, should be quite a small sort of buckler shield.
Yeah.
Quite hard to swing a cutlass with a big old boy in your arm. Cool. So, flipping is a king of spades, bruh.
Perfect. You could not have done better.
No, I literally could not have. Because that's 10 plus 4 plus 2, so 16 total.
Yep. It got a... And you no, you should... On a king, you should be getting more than that, because that's your spade score plus your 6 swashbuckling, and
oh,
the king
so
is 13.
Yes. So 6, 8, 12, so 22, rather.
Yeah. It got a 14. So you easily dispatch this snake. Easily.
Anymore.
So... Describe the way you deal with the snake that is no more.
The snapping maw of the pit viper is naught in front of the sweet curving blows of Jeffrey's cutlass. He dices and he cuts the head off of the snake.
Nice. It when you landed in front of it, it just got, it had time for a and then its head's gone. Cool. What do you guys do next? You're in the middle of a war zone.
I kind of shake my head a little bit, sort of shake off the damage or whatever. Have I got, like, anything nearby me?
Yeah, what we're doing here is sort of narrative. You describe what you want to do.
Cool.
Because there's townsfolk, there's Frederick, mm-hmm. there's snakes everywhere. it's basically a playground for you to describe carnage.
Awesome. So I want to grab a snake and fly up into the air and drop it.
Okay. Nice. I like it.
So I get spades again, right?
That's a spade. I'll flip against it, though. That is, to dodge your grab is a 13.
I got an 8 of spades, so I get positive this time. So my 8 of spades plus my spades is, yeah, nice. That is an 8 plus a 5 is 13 plus fly is 15 plus aerobatics is 16. Yeah.
So you manage to grab it and you fly up high into the sky and drop it. Yep. And it just plummets and it splatters on the ground and knocks out a few other snakes in the process.
Nice. Is that my beneficial? Yay!
And now you've got a good vantage point to see what's going on around you. And yeah, you can see that there's victories in a few places and there's also losses in a few places too.
Yeah, okay.
Jeffrey is going to whistle and call Frederick to himself.
Okay, make a heart flip. See if he obeys.
I can't wait. Okay, 6 of diamonds, but I've got plus 3, and I'd call it Moxie. So 9, 10.
You got 10. Okay, so Moxie's only plus 1. Yeah, he listens. He puts down a snake that was in his beak. And he just goes, "Oh, little one, always wanting help." And then, like, lazily flaps over to you in no mad hurry. And then stops in front of you and goes, "What is it?"
Jeffrey gets a bit of a head start. He runs about a meter, 3 feet in front of him. And goes and tells him, "Fly and catch me."
Sure.
Jeffrey does a headstand.
Okay. So
making
you want him to
his feet.
You want him to grab your feet in his talons. Okay, he does that.
Really
he grabs your feet and he flies up high with you dangling upside down. Do you have a plan here?
Yes, I do. So a strong foot-to-foot connection is made, and I would like to impel Frederick to swoop low across the city so that Jeffrey can upside-down flying fight as many snakes as possible.
I won't get you to do the heart flip to convince him to do this. He's on board. Mostly,
flying lawnmower.
Yeah, mostly because... As an owl, he's very adept at grabbing mice in his talons, which you've just told him to do. I'll just get you to make a general swashbuckling flip against no one in particular to see how well this goes over the whole city.
I would also like to make it very clear that only to annoy him, I will be referring to Frederick as Freddy, because it feels like it's something that he wouldn't like. So I have plus 6 swashbuckling, which is helpful because I drew a 5. This was a state flip, was it?
Yep.
Okay, so 5, 9, 15, and I drew a spade as well.
Wow, okay, 15 with a spade. Yeah, you just go around like a whirlwind of death and carnage, and you just slice and dice your way through 10, 15, 20 snakes. As he just zips and zooms you around corners and things, and yeah, while this is happening, you actually get basically a good lay of what's going on as well because you're getting dragged through it.
I would like to also inject that as Jeffrey passes a lady mouse that he's just saved, he manages to make eye contact and flex his bicep.
That's a heart flip. That's a heart flip with plus your macho skill.
Plus my march, I'm into it. 8, 12, 13.
What suit?
That's a club.
Okay.
So irrelevant.
Yeah, she swoons, like 1930s style, just, you've made yourself a fan.
Jeffrey, also, by the way, is getting quite close to passing out because there is very little blood remaining in his legs. It's all in his head.
Okay.
So at some point, it's just going to be passed out, being hit in the legs.
Both of you, from your various vantage points, Simon from flying up high above the city from where you dropped that snake, and Jeff from where you're being swung around like you're being dragged behind a moving car, you both notice that there is a tide of townsfolk running towards a large tree with like a big open door in the base of it. That seems to be maybe like an evacuation point or something.
Okay. Is there anybody chasing them?
The snakes aren't actively going, like, let's pursue them in that direction, but they are following the tide.
Yeah, are there okay. any groups of stragglers evident?
Yeah, there are stragglers about the city who aren't part of the main mob.
Yeah, so what Simon wants to do is he can see this tide happening towards it, figures out that must be where they're going for safety, watches as a snake is gaining on one of the ones at the back, and just dive bombs in that direction. More gigantic adventures coming soon when Jeff and Simon return.
The Gigantic Adventures of Jeff and Simon uses the Suited RPG system by Escapebox Games. If you want to learn more about Suited or play it for yourself, head to escapeboxgames.com. We are a proud member of the Podicon Go Network, family-friendly shows that are fun for everyone. Visit podicongo.com to learn more about this and other fantastic podcasts.
Hello, my name is Jacob.
And I'm his co-host, 5-year-old Olivia.
Do you have kids?
And are your kids curious?
If you answered yes, you should check out Curious Kid Podcast, a weekly educational podcast for curious kids and grown-ups. Every week we learn about another topic.
We've already learned about spiderwebs, batteries, the moon, and so much more.
You can find us at curiouskidpodcast.buzzsprout.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.